Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Now, we're all aware that life is uncertain and death is sure. It's appointed that a man wants to die. But the Christian does not look upon death like other people do. He lives in Christ and he dies in hope because of Christ. He looks for that city whose builder and whose maker is God. Oh, we read and we sing and we think and we talk about heaven. Oh, think of the home over there. There's a beautiful place called heaven. Well, salvation is not our only goal, but that's our expectation. Now consider the time when the Lord has come, the resurrection has been accomplished, there's been the day of judgment and the separation of the saved from the lost. Did you ever think, what if I am lost? Now, admittedly, this is not a very pleasant thought. In fact, it's so unpleasant that most will not even seriously consider it. Probably most do not think of being lost in terms of themselves, but in terms of others. And even those who do not believe that there's a life after this one, they do not think that they would be lost even if there is a life beyond this one. Well, every person who becomes a Christian once considered that possibility. This is one of the reasons he became a Christian. Since there are only two eternal destinies, that's heaven and hell, it is worth our time to consider being lost. It's a sobering and frightening thought. But there are a few things of which we can be sure if we are lost. We will not be alone. Now, this may at first appear to be comforting, but it is not in this instance. Being alone is something most of us dread. But being in a crowd with the wrong ones is even worse. Jesus taught that more will be lost than will be saved. In Matthew 7, he said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Well, there is that nagging thought that most likely, whether we be lost or whether we be saved, we will take somebody with us wherever we go. And that's because each one of us have a certain amount of influence. In Romans 14 and verse 7, "For none of us liveth to himself, and none dieth to himself." Friend, probably those closest to us, the ones who are nearest and dearest to us, will be the ones that we will influence the most. It could be your wife or your husband, your child, your father, your mother, your dear friend. And if we be lost, someone precious to us will likely be lost also because of our influence, and we will have contributed to their being lost. You see, murderers and liars and thieves and adulterers, the ungodly, the disobedient, the rebellious, those who are vulgar, the scoffer, the atheist, the hypocrites, those who are lewd and dishonest, certainly they are servants of Satan. And the heathen and the idolater, they will be lost, and be lost with a company. What kind of company? Ah, that's the company of which I've just described. What a company with which to exist throughout all eternity. But if we're lost, we'll be lost forever. Now, many are lost now while they're living, but they still, while living, have an opportunity to be saved. They can change their spiritual state if they'll take advantage of the mercy of God that's presently extended to them. But after death, there'll be no change. After the judgment, there's no second chance. It is appointed unto a man once to die, and after that the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. Matthew 25 and verse 46 says, "And these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal." Friend, the word everlasting, the word eternal, the one that describes punishment, is exactly the same word in the original language of the New Testament that describes life. In Revelation 20 and verse 10, "And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now, while we glory into about an eternal heaven, let us realize that this same description is given regarding hell in Luke 16 in verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Oh, friend, this doctrine of purgatory is one whose sins are burned out over a period of years. That's not a biblical doctrine. It's a doctrine of salvation that eventually bypasses the blood of Christ because one pays for his own sins. How many people have rejected the invitation of Christ and they've died, thinking that somehow they will have another opportunity? Let us know that for which we can look if we reject the invitation of Christ. Hebrews 10:27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. There is coming a day when the last opportunity to go to heaven will have been passed. But friend, if we are lost, we'll suffer a twofold loss. We'll not only be barred from heaven, and what a loss that would be to miss the company of the saved through the ages, the joy, the peace, the fellowship with the righteous. But we will suffer also the torments of hell, with all the misery and the despair, the hopelessness, the darkness, the fear, the weeping, the gnashing of teeth. You see, the Scriptures do not offer us a middle ground. While there are indications of degrees of punishment and reward, we shall exist either in heaven or hell. Either we suffer a twofold loss, or we'll enjoy a twofold gain. Namely, we would escape hell and enjoy heaven. But if we're lost, we will have only ourselves to blame. Yes, others may influence you one way or another, but ultimately nobody can make you rebel against God just like nobody can make you obey Him. Each one is personally accountable before God, and each one will be individually judged. Many are trying to persuade the lost to be saved, but if we're lost, we can't blame other people because of it. You see, God wants you to be saved. He gave His Son so you might be saved, John 3:16. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. You see, nobody has to beg God to save them. Nobody has to weep and wail asking God for salvation. He is more than willing, always ready to save whosoever will come to Him. And Jesus wants you to be saved. That's why He died on the cross. He came to seek and to save the lost. He gave His life as a ransom for many, Matthew 20 and verse 28. He gave Himself for us and redeemed us, Titus 2:14. He tasted of death for every man, Hebrews 2 and verse 9. Our salvation was His very mission to this earth. The Holy Spirit wants you to be saved. Even now He invites you to come. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come, Revelation 22:17. The word of salvation was given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter chapter 1. And the angels in heaven want you to be saved. Luke 15 tells us, There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And you can always be sure that the members of the Lord's church, those who are already saved, they want you to be saved. They know the blessings of forgiveness. They know the joy that's in Christ. They know the peace that passeth understanding. They know the hope of heaven. They know the providence that God has promised. They know that all spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. They know that salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. And they've taken advantage of the offer made to man by the grace of God. They have the same attitude toward the lost as the Apostle Paul did toward his Jewish kinsmen who were still lost. He said, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Romans 10 and verse 1. The lost, when they are in the assembly of Christians, and they often are, can know that every Christian heart longs for them to be saved. If one is lost, it is because we have only ourselves to blame, because others want it otherwise. And even those who are lost want you to be saved. At least that's the way it was in Luke 16. The rich man, he failed in his life, but he had brothers living that he did not want to come where he was. He wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back and warn them. Of course, they had adequate warning from the law of Moses. They lived under the law of Moses. Seldom do those in sin want their children to live in sin. Those in prison don't want other people to be in prison. Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." But the good news is, we don't have to live this life and die and be lost. The lost do not need to remain lost. You see, we separate ourselves by our sins from God, Isaiah 59:1-2. And all have sinned, Romans 3:23. True, we cannot earn, we cannot merit, we cannot deserve salvation because of our own good works of righteousness, Ephesians 2. Man must therefore look to another to save him, and God has provided that Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. But we must come to Christ. He has provided for our salvation. It's cause only through him can we be saved. Acts 4:12, Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see, Hebrews 5:9 teaches that Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey him. Yes, as we repeatedly say over this program, and we want people to know it, to where they expect it, where they will believe it. You must believe in Christ as the Son of God. You must repent of your sins. You must confess your faith in Christ. And you must be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins. Friend, the way of salvation is open to one and to all. Whosoever will may come. But the fact is, if we're lost, what a loss it will be. There's no need for you to be lost. There's no need for any man to be lost. When he hears the gospel of Christ, he can come to Christ. He is the way of salvation. And what a marvelous thing it is to realize that God has so loved us that he has provided that when Christ comes again, and there's the resurrection of all, and there is the day of judgment, we can hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," because we've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, because God has provided that blood and has taught us the way to reach that saving blood. If you're lost, who are you going to blame? You can't blame God. You can't blame Christ. You can't blame the Holy Spirit. You can't blame Christian people. You can't even blame those who are lost. Other people may provoke you. They may lead you in the wrong direction. They may teach you men's doctrines. But you can believe and obey the gospel and be saved. There's no need for you to dread the day of judgment. You can rejoice on that day with all of the redeemed in Christ Jesus. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.